SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebeck.com. A sunny, bright, cool Tuesday morning. Getting immersed into fall and what comes with it. That includes Far Hills Saturday. Didn't get to Guy Torsiglieri yesterday, but it's just as well because we're going to talk to him at the bottom of the hour, and hard not to be excited about what is, I won't even say arguably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the best card ever for Far Hills, including, in addition to the Grand National, 450,000, field of nine, in addition to the feature, how about a split of the Foxbrook, the novice hurdle? Quite something. Two divisions. Gotta love it. Quite something, really. Two entries in the two races and nine other betting interests. So it should be just a spectacular day, and all we got to do is get some weather like today, and we'll be in great shape. Terrific card. The Gladstone. The Appleton and more. The big, bulky fields in every race, including the New Jersey Hunt Cup. The long-running Timber Race that closes out the card, and there will be, for the first time, parimutuel wagering throughout not just the country, not just North America, but worldwide, and all the Cheltenham goers and everybody that takes an interest in chasing. There's real reason to be excited, and Guy Torsiglieri continues to, works all year long to make this day and to make this spot on the steeplechase calendar the highlight, not just for people involved in the Far Hills race meeting, but really for the entire steeplechase community. Looking forward to talking to Guy, as we always do, and then looking forward to being there on Saturday. You can be too. Easy train service out to Far Hills, easily accessible off of highway and byway, whether you're in Pennsylvania, Jersey, New York. If you've never been, come spend the afternoon. It's a lot of fun. We'll talk to Guy, bottom of the hour. John White will join us too. John at top of hour two, and I asked John to utilize his kind of his line making ability, not to make a line per se, but we're going to identify, we're going to go through at least six categories today of Breeders' Cup. Want to start to identify the likely favorites, and we're going to ask John to evaluate from his perspective who might be reliable and who might be vulnerable as favorites. I spent a good part of yesterday afternoon continuing to touch base with connections and see where everybody stands. And you may have seen a few other pieces. Dave Grenig, who I'm sure we'll talk to on Friday, they will draw the New York Showcase card for Saturday. Always fun, the fall version. That's the Saturday action at Belmont. And there will be a Belmont Far Hills pick four. But Dave wrote a piece about Danny Gargan and Divine Miss Gray. And you know, Gargan with a quote that, quote, it's coming up easy, the distaff. It's coming up as an easy race. I don't know if he meant easy per se or if he meant open, you know, and as an opportunity. But in some ways, when you look, you know, at first I read the quote and I thought, what is he talking about? But then it looked a little, when you kind of dive into it, I mean, is Abel Tasman vulnerable? Well, we'll see what John says. It does feel like her work the other day, Abel Tasman, that she snapped back. We, you know, we talked to Jay Privman, and you can see it at XBTV. She seems to be, you know, back where Baffert would want her. But there's no elate. Some people could look at Monomoy Girl's effort in the cotillion and say, well, you know, maybe she's coming, you know, on the other side of a intense season. She a little vulnerable. Eskimo Girl, kind of out of that. Kenny McPeak shrugged it off and he's not worried, but, you know, Val Dori, I mean, that she kind of inherited that Zenyatta. So, you know, there is, I guess, when you break it down and look at horse by horse, and you look at these fillies and mares, you know, there is, of course, like we talked the other day with Nacho Correas last week and Blue Prize, Wildcat. It maybe Gargan is onto something. But why shouldn't a horse like Divine Miss Gray, who's had a very good year, why shouldn't she contest the distaff? Right? I at first I thought it was ridiculous what he said, and then, you know, Chuck Simon actually and I kind of bandied it about. And Chuck brought up those good points. Why not take a shot? And isn't that the same rationale that we're seeing on the Classic? And the way Marcus yesterday suggested, you know, certainly a good year, you know, for all of those international types that have wanted to win a Breeders' Cup Classic. And you heard those four horses that I laid out. It's kind of crazy. Roaring Lion and Mendelssohn and Thunder Snow and Toast of New York. Well, that's our job. That's our focus heading in toward Breeders' Cup 2018 and the trip to Louisville. Meanwhile, a couple of news and notes before we take a break and get rolling. Here at Saratoga, yesterday, the fall sale, and quite good. Record breakers. And kind of, you know, when you get a sale like the mix sale here at Saratoga, you get some interesting results, and I'm anxious to talk to Sid because there were a couple of first crop stallions that made a big impression yesterday at the sale. Leoban, very, very notable, and certainly Eric Guillot himself was, and Mike Moreno, they were you know, Southern Equine, they were supporting Leoban, and as a result, a $140,000 colt was your sale topper. There was also, that was to Blue Water, and there was an outwork as well, another Uncle Mo son, that Mackmer Hall and the Brogdons were active yesterday. But $125,000 for the outwork weanling. Bunch of broodmares changed hands as well, including, I saw, in fact, on that topic, I saw that Southern Equine bought a couple, including one mare that was in, that's in foal, carrying a Leoban, and one that carrying an Exaggerator. The sale numbers up almost 30% from last year, and the median was up from 12,000 to 20,000, buoyed in part by a stronger RNA. I remember, yeah, last year the RNA almost 40%. This year just 32%. So a very strong New York sale. Predominantly New York sale. And it's interesting to see which of the first crops and the Leoban outwork. I should pull that back up. Tomorrow with Sid, I'll touch on it. See what some of his thoughts were. There was also for Dale Romans, there was a Not This Time colt that fetched $100,000. There were four weanlings $100,000 or more. And you could see some weanling to yearling pinhookers involved as well. Also on the sales news front, today at Fairplex, the last Barrett sale, and this is a racing age and fall yearling sale. 300 plus horses, 250 yearlings, 50 plus racing stock or broodmare prospects. And Barrett's 28 years of horse sales comes to an end today. The California, I forget there will continue to be sales in California, but not under the auspice of Barrett's. Best of luck to them today. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour one on this Tuesday. And, you know, in addition to that Barrett story that I mentioned, you know, the last of the 28-year run, I saw a note, actually. In fact, I could bring it up with John because his wife, Tracy, wrote a nice story, sales advance at Blood Horse, the California TBA, the Thoroughbred Breeders Association, will conduct the winter sale. There was also Steve Anderson is going to be on this week, and maybe Steve's got an update. And I didn't bring this up because there was not conflicting views or conflicting report, but Old English Rancho, they moved horses from Kenny Black a couple of weeks ago, and Kenny had written a thank you, an elaborate and extensive thank you note at Facebook about the circumstance, and Kenny had said that Old English Rancho was going to be in the process of ending their racing program, and have not seen a follow up to this other than the initial report that the horses that had been in Kenny's care went to Dan Blacker and Phil D'Amato and Hector Palmer. We'll check with Steve as to what, you know, where things stand with Old English Rancho. And of course, Mr. Johnston died two years ago, give or take, 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, this was such a terrific story for Kenny, and you know, we had really so much pleasure being able to, you know, track the success that he had, particularly with What a View, And I've sort of been keeping that on the side, and I thought to mention it in association with today's Barrett sale. A couple of race results that I want to slip into. And yesterday, it just so happened, yeah, just sitting, working, and kind of watching, you put on up here, we get, the Capital OTB feed, which will have, three, sometimes four different, racetrack signals on the screen, and then they'll zero in on the race that of the moment. And it just happened. I kind of looked up, and the race from Delaware yesterday, and came as the fourth. If you didn't see this, 6 furlong maiden special for 3-year-old and up fillies and mares. And I pulled up the PPs, and there was the Godolphin homebred Alfresco. And I'm sorry I didn't see this to alert you to the race yesterday, but Alfresco, by Tappet out of a shadow. Yes, a fairly nice breeding. Alfresco got bet heavy and 3-5 or so, and won well. Wasn't particularly fast. 111-4, and it's going to be the figure wasn't up, but it based on Heather Hills, the third place finisher, who was coming out of a race at Churchill and it had some starts, had been away for over a year, a 4-year-old actually. Based on her, this has got to be a low mid 60s type of a figure. Brian Pedroza aboard for Mike Stidham. So a Shadows 3-year-old filly gets her career going and wins at first asking. And actually, there was an Alan Goldberg, Rich Santulli homebred in here. Not sure. That was second choice. Ran well. Was the leader and got run down. So, Ashado fans, and there are many of you. And while we're on the topic of some maiden wins, I'm going to alert you to a horse from Saturday that I this morning I reached out to Joe Orsino. I wanted to see what was going on with Imprimis, and he's done for the year. He's going to get a freshening and come back for another campaign. No Breeders' Cup for Imprimis. Needed a little bit of time after a very good year. And he had a rough trip in that turf monster. But I was trying to figure out who else might be showing up for the turf sprint. And while conversing with Joe, brought up the maiden first time winner he had down at Gulfstream West on Saturday. You want to take a note of combination. This is an alternation colt, 2-year-old, and this was an impressive win. 5 furlongs, and you don't really know exactly what he was facing in here, but the way he did this was pretty impressive. Combination is an alternation colt out of a proper reality mare. Joe paid $25,000 for Jonathan Green, and Jonathan's actually involved in alternation, has got an interest in the Pin Oak Stallion. And I'm going to bring this up too with Sid. The reason I brought this up, we're going to discuss it with Sid. Alternation, getting his share of winners, and This was an impressive performance. Take a look. He's got a mid-70s buyer just to launch the career. And Paco Lopez aboard. It's just a 5-horse field, but visually impressive. Combination and Alfresco. All right. There's your maiden report, we'll call it. All right. And by the way, speaking of the fig, Scott Jagow, who does a nice job, Scott is doing a series at Pollock Report this week on figure makers and on the kind of a survey, I guess. And he started out with the buyers. And of course, it's never a good idea to read comments generally, because we all know what you're going to get. It is astounding, just amazing to me how whenever there's any discussion of figs and the buyers are obviously the for our purposes in this era, they're the godfather, the granddaddy of the modern speed figure that kind of changed the entire game. And yet there is a group out there out in the internet ether that thinks they're smarter than and they're gonna take every opportunity to insult Andy Beyer and demean and try to diminish his accomplishment and his landmark work at basically changing the landscape and how we all get to look at horses' performances. It amazes me. And the people have to run whenever there's a thread on a website. It's just insane. I'm amazed at how eager everybody, not everybody, but the circle of critics that want to show how smart they are by insulting Andy. I don't get it. Really amazing. So, bottom of the hour coming up. We will take a break and come back and talk to Guy Torsiglieri. He's going to join us and the Far Hills session on Saturday. Not just going to be another terrific running and fun day out in the Jersey countryside, but the hard work that went into getting Parimutuel Wagering approved and installed, and then the actual physical demands and the physical aspect of the electronics and what has to happen. I mean, for those of you that haven't been to Far Hills, it's out on a farm. It's out in the countryside, and fiber optic, I think if I remember previous conversations, fiber optic line and so forth, and what's involved here. And that era is about to start on Saturday. We'll talk to Guy after this at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth. It's the truth. Baby, and for you, it's such a thrill. Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
You never fail to satisfy.
We're back at the races, bottom of the hour, and Guy Torsolieri, the chairman of the Far Hills race meeting, is joining us, and everybody hopefully will be a winner on Saturday at Far Hills. The parimutuel wagering is going to be installed, and there is a fabulous card that was drawn yesterday, and Guy, it looks like Saturday should be just tremendous.
As you said, the card's the best card we've ever had. We actually had so many maidens in the novice division. I mean, maidens in the Sport of Kings novice division. We ended up splitting that race, so we'll be competing for $900,000 on Saturday instead of $850,000.
I noticed that, and I called it unprecedented. That I mean, have you ever split that before?
No, we've split some maidens, and we split some other races at Far Hills. We've never split the novice race like that, and it's pretty exciting because it's a $125,000 race, and we're committed. The National Steeplechase Association is committed to when races are split that they hold their purse levels at the level that they were published at. So it was a group effort by four or five groups to come up with the extra money for that division, so we're very excited about it.
Well, that just shows the commitment, and when it comes to the commitment, what you had as a vision and have as a long-term execution plan for Far Hills in terms of purse levels and international prestige and interest and participation, it has to feel like this is a special running of the meeting Saturday, Guy, with the parimutuel in place.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. I mean, there's been so many people that have worked with us through, it's probably 5 or 6 years now that we've been trying to accomplish this. As I heard you in your intro earlier, you know, the amount of infrastructure that we had to build, still building, and the amount of groups that we're working with to pull this off is just absolutely amazing. I mean, as you know, we're partnering with Monmouth Park, so it's Monmouth Park at Far Hills. It's a one day of racing under Monmouth Park's license at an off-site location. Dennis Drazen and Bill Knopf, I couldn't have done it without the two of them. They've just been absolutely perfect partners. And, you know, as you said earlier, we're running fiber and we're running this and we're running that because you're right, it's a 250-acre field. And so all that infrastructure had to be built, the teller booths and everything. So it's coming together nicely. We're getting a lot of, as you said, international participation, a lot of excitement there. I don't know if you saw the big race, but you know, out of the 9 horses, 8 of them have international connections. There's only one on the Grand National. There's only one horse that was bred here. All the rest are coming in from France or Ireland. We've got their attention. We've got the world's attention. Pretty excited about it.
Explain from a signal distribution standpoint, Guy, what was involved? How much of that is any marketing that you do, and how much of it falls into, as Monmouth is the host of the signal? How do you plug into the international marketplace so that, you know, those that love Cheltenham and particularly obviously the UK, you would think will have and the betting shops that part of it, you know, you would think there'll be a lot of the international money will come, you know, from Britain.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the exciting parts of partnering with Monmouth, in that their contracts that they have, and there's 1,200 locations that Monmouth Signal is used across the country and the world. So those 1,200 locations will be carrying the Far Hills races, Monmouth Park at Far Hills. So the logo, we're co-branding the Monmouth Park logo and the Far Hills logo. So no matter where you were betting Monmouth Park the last time you were betting it, it'll look the same and feel the same. So, and I couldn't have done that by myself. If I had been given a license by the New Jersey Racing Commission, I would have had the on-site handle, but then I would have had to go and negotiate every single one of those contracts that Monmouth already has in place. So that's the beauty of that. So we'll be, and the Daily Racing Forum is also going to be publishing our meet. We've talked to them. They're excited about it. And I don't know if you saw Naira, but they've announced we're going to do a cross-country pick 4, which they've, you know, is exciting in and of itself. So the pari-mutuel wagering, we knew, was just a small piece of the expansion of steeplechase racing into other marketplaces and so forth. So accumulating a lot of different things that is advancing the sport. So it's pretty exciting.
Hey, Guy, do you have an idea or a target in conversation with Dennis, or you know, just knowing what, you know, what gets bet on chasing at flat tracks in general? What's a target for handle for Saturday?
So that's really funny. We've actually I've been talking to Dennis and Bill Knopf, and nobody knows, right? I mean, it's we have 35,000 people that are coming here. Some of them are gamblers. Some of them are going to be new to the sport, and it's really anybody's guess. We have 64 locations where you can place a bet, 64 tellers. They're spread around the entire property. and we've actually got a line going. You want the over or the under?
Both.
So we're guessing, and I went over. Somebody set the line at, they thought, 200,000 would be the amount wagered on site. And, you know, you start running numbers and doing the math and how many people and so forth. And I think we'll be over that. And I hope we're substantially over it. But this is a investment for the long term. So even if we come up short the first year, it's not about the handle. It's not about the amount of money we make on the handle. It's about expanding the sport, growing the sport, reaching international people around the world, and just the synergy that we're getting with flat tracks, with Monmouth Park, with Naira, that is all part of the bigger picture.
Well, if you use the the normal number of, on, in terms of on-site handle. If you say $100 per head, yeah, that's $350. Then you think about the nature of the crowd. I would probably trim that down. I $200 on site feels like a really, that feels like a good number as an over-under.
I think so. I think, you know, yeah. It's and the handle at the 1,200 locations, that'll be interesting as well. We do know that, you know, less money is bet on steeplechase races than flat races, but that's not the case over in Europe. So we're hoping for a lot of participation over there. Be dinner time on Saturday night, so hopefully we'll get great participation there.
Well, and of course, you know, the opportunity, I suppose, in New Jersey also gets folded in. You also have the in-running wagering because Betfair is licensed in New Jersey. And so exchange wagering is going to, has got to be a portion of this as well.
Venice and company are working on that. Where that lands for this year is still sort of up in the air. They do have the sports book, as you know, down at Monmouth Park. We are technically licensed for that here, but one step at a time.
Well, the international handle portion of this is really what it should be. Should be interesting. I'm as excited about that as you are, just to see, you know, what kind of a reaction. Because frankly, you would hope or expect, Guy, that a number that opens up some eyes domestically, you know, it could be a terrific marketing tool for steeplechase in general.
I definitely agree with you. I think between what we're doing and the attention that it's getting both internationally and here, we'll do nothing but enhance the sport of steeplechasing. So, you know, and then the week after, we go down to International Gold Cup down in Virginia, and they also have pari-mutuel wagering, and they've also made connections to send their signal around. So, you know, it's a group effort by a lot of race meets up and down the East Coast to promote steeplechasing. So we have small meets, we have large meets, but every weekend we're getting horses ready to jump over fences. So it's really exciting.
And you know, I mentioned the long-term plan because you've got some things in mind specifically, you know, for the Grand National for the 100th running, and in terms of dollars and in terms of participation, I mean, that this all is going toward that. It feels like.
Yeah, well, 2020, so this is our 98th year. In 2 years, we'll be 100 years old, and the goal was to have $1 million in purses and the Grand National, a $500,000 race. So we're on track to reach that goal, and it's very exciting in terms of being able to, you know, we've been working on this for a long time, as you know, and it looks like all the pieces are coming together.
Well, and you mentioned the way the lineup fell into place on the feature, and there's maybe only one notable absence, and I had anticipated Zanjabil, and I guess at this point Hendrick's just trying to ride it out, or was there an issue?
Yeah, we had, I think there were 13 noms for this race, and, you know, racehorses are fragile, and I think Zanzibiel has an issue, so I know Ricky and George Mahoney, the owners, you know, they're very disappointed that they're not going to be able to participate. Hopefully it's a minor injury, and he'll be back next year. As you know, our jump horses run a lot longer than flat horses, so, but yeah, I was equally disappointed to see that he wasn't going to be able to make it. It wasn't for lack of trying. I mean, it's if he was fine, he would have been here.
Well, the lineup basically it basically precludes that anybody could leapfrog him as champion, though, because there isn't any of the major players. I mean, the closest would be Hinterland, but he hasn't won a race this year. He was second in the Lonesome Glory, and so I don't see it. There is one name, though, that it's good to see in the entries, and that's Dowellan, who's been away, and it's great that Cyril Murphy's got him back ready to run.
It is. He won here a couple years ago, and it is great to see that he's back. And as I said, you know, he's 8 years old, which is relatively young in our jumping game. And it is good to see him back. So we'll see where that goes. And you're right, it's wide open. And as far as, you know, who gets what and where, this is just one race. It is a grade one race with a very, very large purse, but it was. I am disappointed that Sansepil will not be participating.
Well, you do get an interesting group of participants. Jack Fisher has for Mrs. Johnston, Days of Heaven, first time that he's been back in the U.S. since 2016. He also participated at Far Hills back then and in the Colonial Cup, and then returned and, you know, Cheltenham and all the usual stops. You've got Ben Pauling, who fairly, for me, is a new name and, you know, coming to North America. Emmett Mullins, Tornado Watch, and Charles Longsden, Hammersley Lake. I mean, you've obviously, and Gordon Elliott with his pair, you know, you've obviously put the connections, you know, on notice to, you know, look at this and make it a, you know, kind of an end of the season goal for some of these horses. And, you know, from that standpoint, you know, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what kind of reaction you get from this lineup and some of these new names for, you know, for North American audiences.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And you know, a bunch of the shippers that are coming over here, some are coming for the Grand National and some are coming over for the novice. And as you'll remember, that, you know, Zanzibar last year was shipped over here. Gordon Elliott shipped him over.
That's
he
right.
Ran in the novice, won the novice, and then subsequently was sold to George Mahoney and you know, has been a fabulous grade one star this year. So I think several trainers are looking to sort of go down that path and that road with you know, our novices or our junior stars, you know, going to be open company relatively soon, and it's exciting to see all that come together.
Well, and I'm just I hadn't given some of the other races as much of a look, there's quite a few, and not just also in the handicap and, you know, a few other. There's a couple cross-entered too, actually. That
we have two. Yeah, there's two horses that are cross-entered, but if it all shakes out the way I hope it does, we'll have fields of 10 in the two novice races, which would be great, and the ratings race, the handicap. So it's a full card with full fields, and it's come together nicely.
Well, we certainly later in the week will connect with the Sean Clancy, and in fact his River D stables well represented on the slate. And you also have an interesting potential stake double between Saturday and then subsequently in the Breeders' Cup in 2 weeks, because Lee Pacoy is going to try to go for that Gladstone Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly double that is such a rarity.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be interesting.
Lee and Kathy have been involved for years in jumps. I haven't seen as many lately, but he's got Roller Rolls On, Lemon Drop Kid, a 3-year-old that he bred that's going to run in the Gladstone, and of course has got Sipican Harbor in the Juvenile Fillies. That's going to be one of the choices. It's pretty cool.
It is, yeah. The connections are between steeplechasing and flat racing are run pretty deep, which is very exciting. So,
if in terms of people making their way out out to the farm and joining you for the day, what do they need to know? What else can we tell them?
Well, if you go on our website, farhillsrace.org, there's a menu of options. We are sold out in a number of tailgating spots, and our chairman's pavilion, I believe, is also sold out. That was limited to 100 people. But general admission tickets are still available. They're $100 a piece. You can buy them online or through various locations. Those locations are posted on our website. And like I said, last year we had 35,000 people here, which is pretty much our sweet spot, and we'd like to hit that number. So come on out.
Well, and New Jersey Transit makes it very easy to the station right at the base of the farm, and you can walk right over and then walk right back. You know, drive to Metro Park and leave your car there and take the Jersey Transit right in. It makes it easy. Or you come from the city. And that's always a festive trip for the Manhattanites that
and we've also organized a lot of buses too. I think there's 150 buses that organize themselves and show up on the property as well. And like you said, New Jersey Transit does a great job for us, because with so many people, it's only a single track. So New Jersey Transit goes, all trains go one way to service us, and then in the afternoon all trains go the other way. So they try to move, I think it was 9,000 on the train last year, so they try to move them as efficiently as possible. They do a great job for us.
Well, and all the volunteers as well, and of course the money that is raised for charity, a big part of the Far Hills Race Meeting. And Guy, you work all year long for this one big day, and so many things that had to be put into place to make particularly the paramutual happen. And we talked about it, I don't know, the last 3-4 plus years that it was going to happen, and people were getting frustrated, and they said, oh, it'll never happen, and it has. So,
well, yeah, it's, as I said earlier, the amount of time, effort, and companies that we had to deal with in order to make this work is pretty staggering. And it, again, it was great that we finally got it all together. You mentioned the charities. I just want to, we've talked about the horse racing and the paramutual and so forth. We are a 501c3, and we do donate a tremendous amount of money to local charities in our area here to support health care. And we're very, very proud of that fact. Actually, we've donated so much money to the old Somerset Medical Center. It's now part of the Barnabas system, that there's a 60,000 square foot building that's called the Steeplechase Cancer Center it was built in our honor for the millions and millions of dollars we've given them through the years. So we've got 5 or 6 great local charities that we continue to support annually, and they help us with setups and takedowns, and it's a great synergy, and it's a great way to give back to the community. So that's a very important part of it. I know you and I get hung up in the horse racing side of it, which is also very important, but that other aspect is equally as important.
Well, it's a magical day. This is probably my, I don't know, 6th or 7th Far Hills, and can't wait to get down. And Guy Torsiglieri, the only other question that we have each year at this time that everyone knows, there's two things that you focus on all year long. Number one is the race meeting, and number two is selection and procuring of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. And has it been selected?
How do they say this? I can neither confirm nor deny that I have any knowledge of this. Yes, it's been selected for quite a while, and its location will be released within the next couple of weeks. And it's a beautiful, beautiful tree. And I can't tell you where it is.
Well, we'll look forward. It'll be on the Today Show and everywhere else. And it's, you know, it must be nice to just have two things to worry about all year long.
Yeah, you got a few more than that, but those are the two you focus on. But that's okay. That's okay. So yeah, we'll be it'll be delivered on November 10th, which is a Saturday, to Rockefeller Center.
Well, that literally as soon as you're going to wake up Sunday morning, and that's and boom, that's the next priority.
Well, that process actually has already started, so we're multitasking.
Always. Well, for those that have never been, we cannot urge you enough to participate and to get involved at the least. If you're far-flung, you're going to watch and wager on Saturday. It'll be on your menu. It'll be listed as Monmouth Far Hills or...
Yeah, Monmouth Park at Far Hills. We're also going to be live streaming it. So if you go onto our website, if you're just interested in looking and not wagering, you can do that as well. You can go on our website or the National Steeplechase Association's website. You'll be able to click on it, and it'll be live streamed as well in high def.
I love it. Well, we will see you on Saturday. Guy Torsiglieri, congratulations on getting this to happen. The Paramutual system in place for Far Hills for Saturday and for the future, and the future will be very bright. I will see you Saturday. Thanks.
See you Saturday, Steve. Great talking to you. Thank you.
Always terrific. Guy Torsiglieri and his family basically synonymous with the area and with the race meeting and with the tree at Rockefeller Center. I every year we have this visit with Guy, and every year I end it with the Christmas tree at 30 Rock. We're going to take top of the hour break, and Marcus Hirsch has been busy. Yesterday, after Marcus was on with me, he came back and had more confirmations and more juvenile turf participants that he could confirm. Just now, Marcus following up with a Aiden O'Brien conversation, Anthony Van Dyke will not be coming for the Breeders' Cup juvenile turf. So one of the likely favorites for the juvenile turf, not going to participate, but Marcus will have more. Keep a look at his Twitter feed and at DRF Live, because Marcus will have the details of his conversation with O'Brien, and we'll find out who is coming. John White is coming shortly, and we're going to kind of bandy about some of the most likely short prices. Classic, distaff, mile. Well, turf, we know Enable's going to be the favorite. And the juvenile races. We'll look at about six races, give or take, and see maybe who we can suggest as somewhat reliable, less reliable, or unreliable. Vulnerable. Back after this, hour two.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When we're prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Serious news
about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.